Now, one of our themes running through this morning is bravery. And I'm going to invite Julian now to come and tell us our story about a lady called Esther.
So it's quite a long story, the story of Esther, so we've broken it down into manageable bits. A long time ago, over 400 years before Jesus was born, the Bible tells a story of Esther, a Jewish girl who lived in exile in a city called Susa, the Persian capital. She was an orphan and she lived with her uncle Mordecai. Xerxes was king of Persia, a powerful man. And around this time, he became angry with his queen, but that's another story, and asked his official to find him a new queen.
Xerxes, come on now, are you King Xerxes? There we go, here's King Xerxes. And you need to send somebody out to go and find a new queen. You want to send your sister, tell us again.
Awesome. So, off to find a new queen. It was a long and probably tedious process, lasting many months, but eventually King Xerxes chose Esther as his new queen. How do you think she felt?
It's good to be queen.
Good to be queen. The king knew how to celebrate. A royal party, a national holiday, and loads of gifts. But Esther kept a secret because she remembered Mordecai's advice and didn't tell anyone her nationality. Mordecai lived outside the palace, and one day he heard about a plot to kill the king. What do you think he will do?
We've got Mordecai here. Come on, slowly. You can be Mordecai's servant again.
So they've just heard about a plot to kill the king. What do you think they'll do?
They'll tell Esther.
They might go and tell somebody. Yes, that's right. Mordecai rushed to tell Esther, and Esther told the king, and the plot was foiled. King Xerxes' life was saved thanks to Mordecai and Esther. But the king soon forgot about that. Instead, King Xerxes appointed a man called Haman, to be his prime minister. And we know that Haman is the baddie in the story. Haman was a very good baddie here, but was a proud and angry man, and he was a fierce enemy of the Jewish people. Boo, fierce enemy, right? How do you think he got on with Mordecai, for example? There was no love loss between Mordecai and Haman. Mordecai refused to bow to his enemy, Haman, and this made Haman madder than ever. No bowing.
Is he bowing to this? No, he's not bowing.
So, Haman hatched his own plot, ha ha ha, this time to get rid of all the Jewish people. That would deal with Mordecai. King Xerxes gave his royal seal to the plan, believing Haman when he said that the Jewish people didn't obey the laws of the land. And a day was set for all the Jews to be killed. But we know something that the king and Haman do not. How do you think Esther is feeling now? A bit scared. Yeah, well, Esther, we're feeling a little bit scared. Esther was very distressed. Mordecai was in mourning. All of her people had been threatened. Mordecai begged Esther to plead with the king. But that's no easy thing, because if she went to the king without being invited, the penalty would be death. Here is the crux of our story. Will Esther be brave enough to declare she is Jewish and plead with the king to spare her people? So like Helen said, hands up, who is going to be brave now? Is she going to be brave enough to go to the king? Do we reckon? Yes. Hands up, yes. Well done. Okay. Esther was indeed brave. She went to the king, who was merciful, and allowed her to speak to him. But Esther was also shrewd, and she had her own plan. The queen invited Xerxes and his prime minister Haman to a special banquet. The king was puzzled, but he agreed. The king enjoyed his banquet, and so did Haman, thinking that he was now the queen's favourite. But still, Queen Esther would not say what she wanted. She invited them both to a second banquet. How is Haman feeling now, do you think?
Even better.
Even better, yes, indeed. You're feeling very better. You're feeling better. You're better. You like your dinners. Yes, good. At the second feast, in the middle of dinner, Esther told the king about the plot to get rid of Mordecai and all the Jewish people, including Esther herself, as she was also a Jew. How do you think the king felt about that? The king was enraged. He was furious. He was mad as a hatter. Who could threaten his beautiful queen? We know the answer. And that, I'm afraid, was the end of the baddie Haman. And we left that bit out. You can read the rather gruesome details yourself. It's only a family service, this. Right, the king made a new edict to counteract Haman's plan. He appointed Mordecai his chief official, and Mordecai sent news of the new law throughout the land. The lives of the Jewish people in exile were saved. Time to celebrate, of course. And to this day, the Jewish people remember brave Queen Esther and how their lives were saved. The Jewish festival of Purim falls near Passover time, usually in March. And this story is acted out and special food is shared. Esther was brave, but God had a plan to save his people. He has been working all through history. Esther's story of deliverance at Passover time is another pointer to Easter, where Jesus will save his people forever.
Thank you, Gillian. Esther is an unusual book in the Bible. It's the only one that does not mention God by name. But Esther and Mordecai both chose to trust in God even when things seemed to be going so wrong. So we're going to take some time now together in groups or individually. This is a technique that we use in our church where we read just together a short passage of the Bible and then we ask the questions, what stood out for you? You might want to underline something that's in the passage, or there might be something that comes to you. But then the question is, what is God saying to you? And what does God want you to do about it? Because it's not simply something that we think about up here. It's something that comes to our heart and into our actions in the week ahead. I think I've got it on. Yeah. Right. James, are you able to, if I put this one on? Thank you. Is that one? Yeah, that's great. Okay. Right then, this is the moment where we're looking for people to be brave. Does anybody have anything that has come to them as they've been looking at that they would like to share? You just have to wave your hands at me if there's... Yes, something over here.
It's a bit of a God incident because in my cat one-to-one with Phil Marsh, this very verse came up, which was, where's the verse? Yeah, if you keep quiet now, help and freedom for the Jews will come from another place. And I've read Esther before, but I didn't realise that Mordecai had that much faith that he said to Esther, who he was asking, look, can you speak to Xerxes? Doesn't matter if you do or not. If you God's don't, someone else is going to do it. Yeah. God's going to save the Jews. He had that much faith in that sticky situation.
Yeah. That's what came to me as well, John, that absolute dependence and certainty that God was in charge. Oh, I think this microphone battery has just died. I might have to give you...
It's on. What we discussed a few things, but one of the things that came to me is that Esther had said, we'll fast, but she knew and her faith that we will fast, but after fasting, I will go to the king, whether I die or not. But she had her whole faith. She already knew, let's fast together. But what was really standing out was they fast as a community, that we are together in this. Let's all come together, fast. Then I will go to the king, whether I die or not. But she had faith that if we fast together, I will get the strength. She would be able to be brave enough to go to the king and then talk to the king.
Yeah, that was really important as well. That determination that everybody together becomes part of the process of seeking help. I'm coming that way. I'll go across to Leslie. We've given up on the other microphone, James. The battery's gone.
It's so funny, this story. This week, I have had a very, very tough week. And not knowing how it's going to turn out, God has helped me to get a little bit of help to sort out this problem that I am dealing with at the moment. And quite honestly, most of what I'm dealing with can be solved by the Lord Almighty. And I know that all the problems I have, the problems he will solve them for me, because he is great and all powerful, and he will listen to what I would like him to help me with.
Wonderful to have that faith, and we can trust in God completely. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you. For me, verse 16 is the key point for me. And the two key things I pick up from there is about the request for divine help through fasting, not relying on your personal or collective effort, but asking for God to come and help. The second thing is around the courage to obey God and die rather than follow the laws of men. So at times we have a challenge whether to follow the legal code or the laws of God, the moral law, in countries where, for example, it's illegal to worship. So you have to have that courage and conviction to say, look, I'd rather go to prison than not follow the divine laws of God. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else that wanted to?
I've got one, Helen.
Yeah.
When I come in this service, when I first met up with Zach and his wife and with his family, well, when I come in...
Time as this, I think, is the conclusion there. I'll come across to you, Dawn. Yeah.
Interesting, it was the same thing that you said that struck me. But also the fact that it said, and who knows, maybe you have been chosen. So he wasn't saying certainly, and God said this, and this is, but it was just a, this might be the plan. You know, let's all fast, give you the best chance you possibly have. But it was that not complete certainty. Certainty that God was in control and that if it wasn't that plan, help would come from another way, but not total certainty.
As our song said, even when things feel uncertain, trust in God.
Natalia was saying that Esther didn't think she had the power to change things, but she still chose to go and stand up with her people. So she wasn't all like really confident, but she still made that choice to obey. And the other thing we talked about was the fact, and we wrote said a prayer about, is knowing when God is saying to wait and when he's saying to act. Because in this instance, he was clearly asking her to act, but there's often times in our life where we think maybe we should act, but maybe he's saying wait.
Thank you very much. And me and all my bits. What was very clear was the sense of God's plan ongoing, whether Esther takes part in it or not. Ollie, can you just go into the notices bit and put it on the key question for me? Because that's the same for us today. You just find the key question. God has a plan and God has a purpose. Are we brave enough to step into his plan? And that's our choice to make today. God is saying to us, I am at work. I am at work in the people around you. Because his plan is to call people to himself. At that time, it was about saving the Jewish people. God has broadened his message out. He invites everybody into his family. Will we step into that plan? Or are we going to step back? God's plan will continue. Or are we going to sit back and let other people be part of God's plan? So as we come now to our final song, just reflect on that thought, because this is about people. Who is God calling you to show his love to this week? Esther was called to be brave on behalf of a whole nation in exile. Who is God calling you to speak to bring his word to this week? Who are the people that you are placed alongside for such a time as this? So we're going to use this final song as our musicians come to join us. Ollie, if you could just put up the first verse for me, because this is a prayer song. Jesus' name is powerful. Jesus' name brings life. And so we want to speak the name of Jesus over the people that we know who need to know him for his peace, for his healing, and for his saving. Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is life. Send us out into your purposes today, that we may share your name, your life, with the people who need you right now. Amen.